If there's been one constant during this pandemic, it seems to be change. Changing risk, changing rules and guidelines, even a changing virus. And today we're going to talk about how those changes have impacted work, where we work, how we work, and what office-like life looks like. It's part of an ongoing series of conversations we'll have on Radio Boston about work as Delta cases rise and offices attempt to reopen. In a few moments, we'll take your calls. What is your office doing? Are you returning to your desk? Are you staying home, quitting, or changing jobs because of the return-to-office policies? And if you've been going in this whole time, maybe working in a different field than office work, call us. We want to hear from you as well. The number, as always, is 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. First, we're going to turn to Katie Johnston. She's a business reporter for the Boston Globe, covering work and income inequality. Katie, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thanks so much for having me.
Thanks for joining us. So, you know, early in the pandemic, it seemed like offices and businesses went whole hog on this work from home forever thing. Then earlier this year, it seemed like a backtracking. Let's get everybody back at their desks. Where are we now in August 2021 on that spectrum here in the Boston area from your reporting?
Well, everything is very much in flux, as you note. A lot of people that had been planning to go back after Labor Day are delaying that to later in the fall or next year. There's a lot of different offices that have already started implementing, you know, we're going to do all remote, we're going to do hybrid. And the hybrid thing is all over the map, right? It can look very different in different places. Some are saying, come into the office a few days, stay home a few days. It's up to you when you want to do it. Other people are giving you specific remote only days, in-office days.
So flexibility is the key.
Yeah, yes, exactly.
Are you seeing shifting trends in where people are choosing to live and work? I'm thinking, you know, Boston area businesses, are they thinking differently about location, commuting, and where their employees are physically based?
Right. I mean, some companies have given up office space altogether, and they've started working in WeWork spaces, optional, you know. Some places are saying work from home forever or will be digital first. And they're either giving up their offices altogether or you know, allowing for collaboration. And a lot of are just scaling back. Like Loomis Sales has just announced that it was going to occupy about a third less space than it does now, giving up a couple floors because they've been so successful at it. And the suburbs are getting a little bit of a lift out of this. The suburban offices had more activity during the pandemic than those downtown, in part because people could drive there instead of cramming into public transportation. And so the WeWork space or co-working spaces in the suburbs have actually grown while they've shrunk in the Boston area.
You've also reported on new office workers, you know, folks fresh out of college and what they expect from office work versus seasoned folks who worked in person, then have been home and are now facing the prospect of return. Could you just tell us a little bit about what you're hearing from new office workers?
Right. Well, the college graduates are interesting because many of them they're just starting their careers, obviously, and many of them want to be around other employees they can learn from. They're also looking to make social connections, make friends, especially if they're in a new place, which is harder to do over Zoom. And they also tend to live in small apartments with roommates, and they might not have a good work setup at home. But of course, some also love working from home as well, like the rest of us.
Well, Katie, you've given us a lot to think about, so thank you. That's Katie Johnston. She's a business reporter for the Boston Globe, covering work and income inequality. Katie, thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure.
So, listeners, what does the future of your office look like? What would you like it to look like? Have you changed jobs during the pandemic, and why? Again, call us and share your experiences and thoughts. We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Let me see if I can squeeze in a quick call here. We've got Kat calling from Worcester. Kat, you're on Radio Boston.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you doing?
Pretty good. The best way to describe what I do, which everyone will understand, I'm a social worker. So I help people with filling out paperwork, going grocery shopping, going to doctor's appointments, etc. So I've been working through the whole pandemic. Our company had us work remotely for 2 weeks, and that was it.
Hmm. So you've been going door to door this whole time. Have you felt safe?
It wasn't really. Now that you're talking about it, I'm a little emotional.
It's okay.
I never really felt safe, but That's not my commitment. My commitment is to make sure people can eat and get to their doctor's appointments. So I just dealt with my commitment, not how I was feeling.
Well, Kat, thank you so much for doing it, and thank you for calling us. I want to squeeze in another call here. Before we get to our next guests, we have Joseph calling from downtown Boston. Joseph, you're on Radio Boston.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. What's your office? What's your work doing?
Yeah, so I'm a robotics engineer by trade, which is interesting because it really depends day to day. Some days I need to be in, you know, putting nuts to bolts, and some days I'm just sitting on a computer writing code. So some days I need to be in the office, some days I don't. And the company I work for is still deciding and trying to figure out its long-term policy. Right now, they're requiring, you know, a certain percentage of time in the office, which is a way to do it, I guess.
Do you like that? But do you want that?
Yes, I would prefer, I think honestly it should be done by a team by team, basis, and, you know, because, you know, someone on the software team, you know, the percentage of time they need to be in the office is going to be a lot lower than someone who's on, you know, the hardware team, you know, physically building things.
Right.
But we started as a startup before the pandemic. You know, we had, you know, 15 employees, but during the startup we've expanded and, you know, grown up, and we're bumping up a little over 30 now, and the problem we've run into is there's just no seats in the office.
And, space issues,
you know, yeah. They're trying to get people to go in there, and we've signed a lease on new space, and it's being built out, but we won't be able to get there for a few months, and I'm honestly really afraid that once we have office space, there's going to suddenly end, you know, hopefully Delta will have passed, you know, there's going to be a big push to, all right, everyone in the office all the time, and honestly, I don't know if I'm ready to go back to that because the flexibility.
I hear you, Joseph. No, I thank you. You've put a lot on the table there, and yeah, I don't know if a lot of folks are ready to go back to that, and I don't know where Delta's going, but we'll stay tuned to it. I do want to bring in our next guests here. We have Segun Idowu. He's president and CEO of the Black Economic Council of Massachusetts. Segun, welcome back to Radio Boston. I don't know if we have Segun, but I'm going to go to Lauren Jones, Executive Vice President at Massachusetts Business Roundtable. Lauren, welcome to you.
Great to have you, or great to be here.
Thanks for joining us. And do we have Segun? No, we don't have Segun yet. Okay, that's okay. Lauren, let me just ask you, you've been listening, you heard Katie, you heard our couple of callers here, and we've got a few more lining up here at 1-800-423-8255. Does that jive with what you're hearing from your members?
There's definitely a lot of things, especially what Katie spoke to and what she's been covering, that is consistent with what we're hearing from our employers. There's a lot in flux. There's been a lot of change, as you noted. I think employers are trying to stay nimble. You know, while companies may have had plans to return to the office after Labor Day or sometime in the fall, those changes, those plans have had to quickly put on pause or change in light of the Delta variant. And I think first and foremost, employers or members of the Massachusetts Business Roundtable in particular are focusing first and foremost on the health and safety of their employees and making sure that as they think about the work environment, that they are doing so with that in mind.
Right, right. And obviously, it all depends on the size of the business, the type of business, as we heard from some of our callers here. But in terms of new office policies, what are your members telling you about what they expect to see in September?
Well, some companies are continuing in September with what has been either fully remote or hybrid. So back in the spring, we actually surveyed our members. Our members represent major employers in Massachusetts, and our membership includes CEOs and senior executives of these large companies, from healthcare to life sciences, academia, financial services, across industries. And what we found was pre-pandemic, 90% of our members were working in operations here in Massachusetts, predominantly in person. And that completely shifted during the pandemic, certainly, but they anticipate that shift to continue post-pandemic, with about 79% of those same respondents looking to switch to a hybrid work model. And that is what will be the plan whenever they bring everyone into that new work environment. For those who can work remotely, I think many of our employers are trying to monitor what is happening and thinking about what those policies will look like. And then at the same time, like Joseph mentioned, there are some companies that have employees who have to be in the office, like right. in labs and actually touching and working on products or with teams. And so with that, companies are also being diligent and vigilant in making sure that those who are coming into the office are able to do so as safely as possible.
Right. So let me turn that to Segun Iduwo, president and CEO of the Black Economic Council of Massachusetts. You know, when we talk about return to work, return to the office, we are leaving out a whole swath of essential, important Massachusetts businesses. We heard already from a caller who was been out there this whole time. So what are you hearing from folks who have been open this whole time, businesses that weren't able to go remote a year and a half ago?
Mm-hmm. Well, first, I have to apologize for the technical difficulties.
Quite all right. We've become very used to it here.
Right. and to your point about the original caller or the earlier caller, I want to thank Kat for all that she has been doing for the Commonwealth. And, you know, as we're talking about the future of work, you know, on the side of Black businesses in particular, but businesses owned by people of color, a lot of folks, like you said, have not been able to close their doors over the last 18 months. You know, most of our, or many of our businesses are Main Streets businesses. It's restaurants and barbershops and hair salons and it's dry cleaners. And a lot of them have relied on the foot traffic around the downtown Boston area, Nubian Square, et cetera, of folks being in the office. And so as we're talking about, you know, folks being able to work from home, et cetera, it, you know, the decreased footprint and decreased foot traffic in these areas is going to have a huge negative impact on our businesses. I think of one business in Nubian Square, who I won't call out, but I know that her restaurant or food business is located right in the bowling building. And so that business has relied on the 1,000 plus folks who work and move through that building working for BPS. And because very few people have been coming into the building, those catering opportunities, the lunch and breakfast opportunities of selling to the folks in the building have dramatically decreased. And so now the scramble is on to try to not only find new contracts, but to stay open in general. So certainly our businesses who have been open this whole time are thinking about how to survive if we move toward folks, most folks working from home.
Right. 1-800-423-8255. What is work looking like for you this September, moving into the fall? Give us a call. Share your experiences, your thoughts. Have you changed jobs? Are you thinking of changing jobs? What is your office doing? 1-800-423-TALK. Let's go to Donna in Dorchester. Donna, you're next on Radio Boston.
Hi, I have a quick question for the man from the Commonwealth. I just was curious too, like, why if the city can do anything to pair with the restaurants that need to offer food and, you know, or, you know, services and catering to people and match them with people who are in need, and maybe they can supplement that income. Like, is there any innovative way that they can make that happen? There's a ton of money being poured into the state all the time and donations, but it seems like they always just fall into, you know, people's pockets in the wrong way. So I'm just wondering, like, if there's anything that could happen there.
Got it. Okay, Donna. Well, thank you for the call. So, Segun, how about this idea of more funding, more money from the state, support businesses and employees?
Mm-hmm. Well, Donna from Dorchester, thank you very much for that question. And I promise you, Jamie, that was not a planted question, but it was an excellent one. You know, there is an important organization in the city of Boston called Commonwealth Kitchen, led by a phenomenal woman, Jen Fagel. And she has been working, she and her team have been working tirelessly to partner with the Commonwealth, to partner with Boston and other municipalities in the state to do exactly that, to ensure that restaurants who have seen a decreased amount of folks patronizing their businesses or who aren't able to do the delivery options to instead compensate that by having them feed those who don't have adequate access to food options. So that's certainly something that's being done. But to your point about just supporting the state, supporting our businesses, you know, BECMA in particular, but our partners as well, and the Coalition for an Equitable Economy and so many others, have been every week pushing the state to make grants and other types of capital available to our businesses, because the Delta variant is destroying the future prospects of our businesses. In fact, you know, I think they would let me share here on radio that, you know, I spoke to about 10 or 12 Black restaurants just a few weeks ago. Many who we know, and when we think of where to go in Boston to get a you know, Southern delicacy or Italian food, et cetera, you know, these are the restaurants that come to mind. And they all told me, well, by the end of August, we're going to have to close our doors because they're not getting the support that they need. And so, you know, it's important that we're providing this capital as soon as possible to help save our businesses.
1-800-423-8255. Do you run a business? Where do you work? How are you working? What is work going to look like to you moving into the fall? Lauren, I want to turn to you here and ask you about sort of physical spaces, because we talked about this with Katie Johnson from the Boston Globe, of offices, you know, relocating, maybe people relocating. What are you hearing from members about the work that's going into physical spaces to make employees feel safe returning?
We are hearing that employers are evaluating and thinking about the purpose of the physical workspace, the layout and design of their office space, and, you know, their footprint here in Massachusetts. And in good news, when we heard from our members earlier this spring, 88% of our members expressed plans to stay here in Massachusetts, expand or relocate here in Massachusetts. So there's certainly a strong commitment within the business community to continue to thrive and do business here. If they are considering plans of relocating or what their footprint looks like, it's not because of a reduction in headcount, but really thinking more about what that collaborative space can be to bring people together. And I think employers are also realizing that that physical office space really needs to have a purpose for why their employees would come together, and the importance of putting quality and human interest first in the spirit of that in-person work environment. And I think that also is true for how companies have been thinking about their culture and their organization in bringing together their employees remotely in the virtual times as well.
Yeah. So let's get into a little bit of that, the sort of social aspect of work. You know, so many companies before the pandemic have put a big focus on office culture, DEI, morale, team building, perks. As we sort of move into maybe a more hybrid type world, Shagun, how can employees and employers continue to foster that healthy culture and that growth?
Intentionality at the end of the day, particularly on the DEI focus, and continuing to keep the door open to those conversations, you know, especially for Black and brown workers, it's going to be important that no matter what the decision is, whether it's to have a hybrid approach for everyone to work in the office or to work from home, that employers are keeping in mind the health and mental health and well-being of their employees, particularly employees of color, where, you know, COVID has really devastated our communities, all of our communities, of course, but, you know, ours in a particular way. And so, like I said, just keeping those lines of communications open for folks to be able to chat about how they're feeling, to offer their thoughts on how to make their workplace more open and you know, just open to them to feel as if they're welcome. All of that's going to be important as we're moving forward.
And Lauren, what's next? What do businesses and workers need from state leaders, from the government, moving into September? What are you looking for from our leadership?
Well, I think employers are certainly paying attention to what state government is doing here in Massachusetts, but I think they're also thinking about their employees and what their leadership within their corporations can look like, so that whether it's in September or 6 months from now, their employees can feel like they are part of a thriving community and a safe environment to be working. In terms of state government. We work closely with the state. And I think if anything, we find that opportunities to focus on workforce development. One thing we didn't get a chance to talk about was the importance of talent development and making sure that there's opportunity of retaining talent, growing talent, and ways that we can partner with the state to provide workforce training for both incumbent workers as well as those that are unemployed looking for work, because that's a huge part of the future of work as well.
Well, that's Lauren Jones, Executive Vice President at Massachusetts Business Roundtable. Lauren, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
And Segun Iduwo, President and CEO of the Black Economic Council of Massachusetts. Thank you as well. This was great.
Appreciate the opportunity.
Thank you.